Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 187, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy, turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer. Thy servant bless. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 187.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this morning service can be found in the prophecy of Isaiah, and there of chapter 41, the first 20 verses. But first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah chapter 41, beginning with verse 1 and 2, and including verse 20. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared, the ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the chittim tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. And I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see, and know, and consider, and understand together, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer our grandson Martin Jansen, who must have surgery this coming week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, God of heaven and of this earth, thou who dwellest among all the holy beings, in thy majesty and in thy glory, thou before whom they do fall and say, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, though thou be high, yet thy servant did testify that thou dost have respect unto the lowly, but the proud thou dost know afar off. Oh, that thou may remember the lowly. Also in this morning hour, in this thy holy day, when we are gathered together, and the morning of thy Sabbath day, that we may worship thee. Lord, we have in our father Adam lost all our ability, that it is not true that we are only sick, but we have fallen dead in trespasses and in sins, so that there is no ability for a man, though that he have much religion, no ability to worship thee. O Lord, we beseech thee in this morning hour, that thou may look upon young and old together, and that thou may give that life from the dead that alone is able to come from thy side, that may hunger and that may thirst after righteousness, and that they may be filled, that thou may look upon us as a congregation, when there will be in an outward way a distinction, a line drawn, and then it is not between us and the world, but it goes through the very visible church of Thee. Oh, that Thou may give to us understanding hearts in this morning hour, that it would not be sufficient for us that we do have that form of religion, and that we come and that we go from the place of the holy. Oh, do give that conviction, the convincing of the heart, that though we have a confession, that we do by nature stand without, that we stand on the outside of the blessings that are to be had so freely while we yet live. Oh, that there may come a holy jealousy to be born in our hearts in this morning hour for the blessed portion of the children of God, that Thou may undeceive us if we do walk in our hypocrisy over this world. Oh, that Thou may open our poor blind eyes in this morning hour, and that Thou may grant us that life that never dies. O Lord, then we can read in Thy holy word how that Thou didst have compassion on the multitude because they had nothing to eat, and Thou wouldst not send them away hungry. O that Thou may have compassion on Thy own dear church in this morning hour, who have nothing to eat, who cannot eat anything from themselves, who have no food and no drink to sustain themselves, to uphold the life, the spiritual life that Thou hast given unto them, so that it will do nothing else but wax old and vanish away, except that Thou dost feed them, that Thou dost come to give them a little drink from that fountain of living waters. O Lord, we beseech Thee, that Thou may open unto us the riches that are contained in the blessed mediatorial work of Thy dear Son, all that He has performed for the sake of a people who had forfeited every right for the blessing, but to come and deliver them out of that horrible pit and out of that miry clay wherein that we have brought ourselves. Oh, that Thou may open our eyes, and that Thou may give us to see, that Thou may open our ears and give us to hear, that our souls may be satisfied, that the meek may eat and be satisfied, when Thy holy supper is to be administered according to Thy own commandment, wherein Thou dost say, do this in remembrance of Me, and wherein Thou dost command, as we have heard in these moments out of Thy word, Thy own dear people, fear not, for I am with Thee. O Lord, that Thou may care for them, and that Thou may take away all of their fears, and that Thou may speak unto them, to say unto them, fear not, little flock, for it is Your Father's good pleasure to give You the kingdom. Oh, could we receive a little blessing in this morning hour out of Thy hand, which will be for us a great blessing. Oh, that Thou may give to the children and to the youth an open eye to behold the preciousness of the portion of Thy people, that a cry may go up in this morning hour out of their young hearts, that Thou wouldst bless them indeed, that thou may remember them with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, and that thou may look upon all that are not able to be in the midst of us, those that are in their own homes, who may listen by church telephone. Thou art not bound to time or to place, or that thou may give them also a blessing in the places where they are, and that thou may look upon those who are become old, who do not understand anymore, who cannot be reached according to the mind, but thou art not bound to the means. Thou who art able to make a John the Baptist to leap in the womb by the power of thy Holy Spirit. Thou art able to work directly in the heart of those whose minds are not able to comprehend. Remember them, O Lord. Look upon those that mourn in these days. Wilt thou comfort them from above? Wilt thou show unto them the seriousness of life, and give us all together to seek thee while thou mayest be found? Be thou with all those that are sick, those that are afflicted, those that have serious diseases, that mother in our sister congregation that does lie in the hospital as so very, very sick. O Lord, we beseech thee for her, that thou may remember her, that thou may visit her, that thou may speak unto her soul, and that thou may say unto her, I am thy salvation. Be with a young boy who also must receive surgery in this week. Wilt thou watch over him under the hands of the physicians? And wilt thou thyself make all things well? And wilt thou give in his young heart a cry unto thee, the true and the living God, for the things of the body and for the things of the soul? Look upon us all together. Bless us undeservedly. Forgive thou all our many transgressions, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 398 all the stanzas. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by his most gracious hand. And what follows the last collection today is for the insight into Psalter 398, all the stanzas. Thank you. congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, and thereof the verses 13 through 15. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So far the words of our text. The sealing of God's promise unto Jacob. First, the promise which is sealed, and second, the objections which are prevented. The sealing of God's promise to Jacob. First, the promise which is sealed, and second, the objections which are prevented. The sealing of God's promise to Jacob. What is a seal? We can read that King Ahasuerus has spoken unto Esther, and he said to her that she should write concerning the Jews. He said, write just as it liketh you. Write it, he says, in the king's name, and seal it, he said, with the king's ring, because that which is written in the king's name and that which is sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Thus, a seal that is communicating authority. What is now sealed with that king's ring, that is not just the word of a man. No, that is actually the word of the king. Thus, that seal that is carrying the weight of an office, that is not just carrying the weight of a person, but that is a seal which would be valid when we are brought into a court and when we are to come before the law itself. Thus, a seal that is communicating to us and to others, a seal that is communicating the will of the king, because that which was written then, boys and girls, that which was written, that decree, then the king says, when that may be sealed with my own ring, then it is evident to everyone that that is my will, that that is my decree, that is according to my good pleasure, that is what I deem to be good, that is what I deem to be right. Therefore, those documents which we have, which have a seal on them, they are very valuable to us. They are very precious to us. They are documents that we do not just lay around. They are documents that we put in a safe place, that we may not lose them. Thus we say the sealing of God's promise unto Jacob. Why? Because it is not the first time that Jacob does hear this promise. No, we have heard of it before. And Jacob himself has also heard this blessing before out of the mouth of his own father. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." Thus we read of the blessing that Jacob was blessed with by his father Isaac. I think Isaac has often spoken to his father. Isaac has often spoken to his son. Do you not think so, boys and girls? You also talk to your father. And your father, he speaks to you. And yet, we all feel that this is something very special. When Isaac, he has spoken to Jacob at this time, and then the words that he spoke, they were special words. Why? Because it was that Isaac, he understood that he was speaking on the behalf of God. Thus, he was inspired by the Spirit of God that he may prophesy and that he may speak and say to Jacob what the Lord was going to do for him in the future. Thus, these promises, they have already been declared unto Jacob from the Lord. They were his from the Lord. No one could take them away. And yet, we read here that the Lord, he is appearing to Jacob now himself. And the Lord, he is repeating this promise unto Jacob. There is actually no difference in the substance when you read both of them. Now what the Lord speaks unto Jacob from heaven, and what the Lord has spoken through his father Isaac, then we see that there is actually no difference in the substance between these promises. No difference in the substance. Is there then no difference? How was that then for Jacob? Oh, you say, certainly there was a difference. Though the substance that was exactly the same. Yet now the Lord, he is opening the heaven. Now the Lord, he is coming to speak to Jacob directly, so that Jacob, he is hearing this promise out of the mouth of the Lord himself in his majesty, as he has seen him in his dream. Jacob, he feels that. That is not through the means of a man anymore, but here it is without those means. And thus, he feels something of the power. He feels something of the majesty. He feels something of the authority with which that promise that is given unto him. And now that power, and now that authority, that is exactly what a seal is meant to communicate. It is the manifestation of the authority of the decree, the authority of the writing. It is the sealing with the king's ring that is felt, that is experienced in the heart of that people, just like it was experienced in that life of Jacob. The Lord reveals himself to Jacob. We heard that. That was in his distress. That was in his guilt. The Lord, he reveals himself in his mercy. He reveals himself in his grace. He reveals himself as the mediator between God and his soul. He sees him. He sees him as that ladder that is extending from the earth unto heaven. All there is actually, there is so much in there, because within that, then Jacob, he can feel something of the majesty of the divine nature of the Son of God. That is, that he is from heaven itself. And yet that ladder that is extending directly unto the earth, right in that place that Jacob himself is lying. Thus, there is something not only of the divine nature, but also something of that human nature that is being portrayed by the Lord himself. There is something about his humiliation. There is something in it about his exaltation. And just exactly what Jacob has understood from that, we do not know. But we can see that those things, they are within that revelation of the Lord that he is opening up unto his people. Jacob, he sees a way. He sees a way between God and his own soul, by which all the blessings of the Lord, they can be and are being communicated unto him. The angels of the Lord ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. But that is not all. He did not only see something. He also heard something. The Lord, he does not only give him a vision, but the Lord, he also speaks. Thus he hears the voice of the Lord. And what does he say? And said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. Do you know what the Lord says in that? The Lord says, Jacob, he says, what I have given unto your fathers, unto your grandfather and to your father, to Abraham and to Isaac, he says, I am now going to give that same blessing unto you. They have received it, and now you are also the recipient of it. That is now no different than what Isaac has said when he has spoken in that blessing. And he said, and give the blessing of Abraham, he said, unto thee. But what does the Lord do now? The Lord comes also to ratify it. The Lord, he comes to confirm that word. It is not necessary from his side. No, but the Lord does it for the sake of Jacob. Why? Because there can be so much from the side of the people. You know how that Gideon did ask the Lord. He said, Lord, wilt thou say it to me again? Wilt thou speak it to me again? How many of God's true church, they do not desire that the Lord, he would come again, and that the Lord would say it unto them again. The Lord, he is so good. He looks upon what? He looks upon the sinful infirmities of his church, their doubts of his own word, and what he says that he will do for them. He looks upon those infirmities and He gives to them helps that they may overcome those infirmities. What does the Lord say? The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. Oh, the Lord gives the blessing. Now that He has given unto Abraham and to Isaac, He now gives that unto Jacob. Jacob walked in the steps of his fathers, of his father and his grandfather. And Jacob has desired the blessing since the day of his youth. Is that true also in you, boys and girls? He has desired from the days of his youth the blessings that belonged unto that covenant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, I'm going to give them to you, that whole land of Canaan. Well, you say it is so carnal. It is land that the Lord is going to give to him. That is what he has heard from his father Isaac too. He says, God give thee of the dew of heaven, he says, and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Oh, maybe you say, I like that blessing too, young people. I like that blessing. And the dew of heaven, plenty of corn and wine, all the blessings that you would like to have in this world. You say, that is so carnal. And yet it is not carnal. Though there was a carnal element, especially in the Old Testament, because that entire word of God that was not yet fulfilled, and Paul says that it is a people, they are under types and they are under shadows. Indeed, there was a carnal element. But there was much more than a carnal element, because Jacob's seed here that is distinguished from the seed of, from the other seed of Abraham and the other seed of Isaac. So, Jacob's children, Jacob's family, that is distinguished from Ishmael's family. Jacob's family, that is distinguished from Esau's family. And yet, what do we read of Jacob himself? Well, he dies. Did he inherit the land? He said no. And his children, they did not inherit that land until when? Until after Jacob had passed away. And Jacob, he himself, he remained a stranger in that land all the days of his life. And thus, there was something much higher in that promise. And that becomes ever more evident as we read, and in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Oh, the Lord says, Jacob, I'm going to make you and your family, you are going to be a fountain in this world. From that fountain, there is going to be a blessing that is going to go out unto every nation in this world. What does Paul write? Well, he writes concerning this. He says, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He says, and not to his seeds as of many, but as of one, he says, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Thus, when the Lord is speaking about this promise that He gives, that promise that was to Abraham, to Isaac, now goes unto Jacob, then the Lord, He is speaking about the Messiah, that Messiah that was to come. And what does He say to Jacob? That Messiah that is in your loins is going to come forth from you. Oh, Jacob needs that Messiah. Jacob, he cannot do without that Messiah. Even from the days of his youth, boys and girls. He did not understand it at that time. No, but the love of God that burned in his heart, does it burn in your heart also in the days of your youth? Because later, oh, the Lord, he is leading Jacob further and through many trials and many tribulations. But then he is revealing unto him that he is not able to miss, him that he cannot do without. He reveals unto him his only begotten Son, and he speaks unto him of that Son, and he says that that Son that is within your loins, oh, that you are blessed with him, oh, who can fathom the blessings that the Lord does give unto Jacob, and that he now ratifies, that he now seals in that life of Jacob. He is the richest man in the whole world. Do you believe that? Are you jealous of Jacob? What can be added to it? You say there is nothing that can be added to it. He has everything. He has everything for the time. He has everything for eternity. That is true. But the Lord is not yet finished. See that in our second thought. The objections prevent it. You say objections. Does Jacob object? We don't read that. And yet, we hear something in this last part that the Lord speaks. And behold, he says, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Jacob did not object. Jacob didn't say anything. Jacob did not need to say anything. That is now what we see here. Why did Jacob not need to say anything? Because the Lord, he knew what was living in the heart of Jacob. He knows what is living in our hearts too. Do you believe that? He knows what is living in our hearts in this morning hour. All that has transpired in our heart in the week that lies behind us. You know what Calvin writes? Calvin writes that the Lord anticipates something. He anticipates a temptation that might steal over the mind, he says, of Jacob. Do you know what the Lord says about his church? He says, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, he says, I will hear. And so we read it here. Before Jacob says a word, the Lord, he says, wait a moment. As it were, I'm still speaking, Jacob. What does he say? He says, and behold, I am with thee. Or if there was anything that Jacob did not feel in this moment, it was that the Lord was with him. Indeed, when he lay himself down, Jacob thought that he was all alone. All alone. He was a fugitive. And not only all alone, but even that the Lord, he was against him. Do you feel to be all alone? More. Or do you think that the Lord, he is even against you now with everything? Everything that you thought that the Lord he had given unto you in your life. Because no sooner has Jacob received the blessing from his father Isaac, and all the perplexities, they begin to come in his life. Oh, no sooner does Isaac say, be Lord over thy brethren, and he is fleeing from his brother. No sooner does Isaac say unto him, and now the Lord, he is going to give to thee this whole land. And Jacob is now, he has to now flee out of that same land. Indeed, Jacob is now probably 75 years old. It will be 20 years that he will be out of that land before he comes back. And then indeed he is going to die in that land of Egypt. And now the Lord comes. And the Lord, he speaks to him. He hears his voice. And he ratifies. And he confirms. And he seals those words which he has heard from his own father. That was a great wonder for Jacob. And yet that still does not take away the perplexities that are living in that heart of Jacob. He cannot see it. He cannot understand how that all these things will come to pass already in his life. He has to say, all these things, they are against me. No, Jacob does not say it. But the Lord, he knows what is living in that heart of Jacob. And the Lord, he comes to prevent those objections. He is going to say it before Jacob can say it. Before that Jacob, he can wonder unto the Lord. And so the Lord, he says to Jacob, and behold, I am with thee, O Jacob. Despite all the cross providences, despite everything in your life that seems to come against it, everything that is contrary, he says, behold, take notice of it, Jacob. Take notice of it. And I say it with my own mouth, he says, behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again unto this land. For, he says, I will not leave thee until I have done that which I had spoken to thee of, O the Lord. He adds unto the promise for the sake of Jacob, because there are fears, there are doubts, there are perplexities that are living in his heart. And now the Lord, in his goodness, the Lord, he comes to ratify it in order that Jacob, he may depend upon it. Oh, that Jacob may trust. Oh, he says, Jacob, you say the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. But that is not so. Can a mother forsake her sucking child? Can she forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion upon the son of her womb? Or they may forget. They may forget, and yet will I not forget thee. O Jacob, you say that you are as a sparrow alone upon the housetops. But it is not true. Not true, Jacob. Why? Because I am with thee. Oh, you say, Jacob, that this cannot come right anymore. That I have made a mess out of everything. Oh, it was my own fault. Had I only left it all in the hands of the Lord. Oh, now it can no longer come to right. Now look where I have to go. And what does the Lord say? He says, oh, Jacob, that is not true. Oh, it is true that you can only make a mess of everything. But I have begun, I will finish it. Oh, Jacob, I will bring thee again. Once again unto this land. How good is the Lord for his people. Though we oft have sinned against him, yet his love and grace abide. And that is now what the Lord will say unto his church, in the midst of his church, in that holy supper. May the Lord bring his dear children there in that same place as Jacob was, in all their guilt and in all their helplessness. And may he grant them his blessing. Amen. The form will now be read for the administration of the Lord's Supper, which can be found on page 60 or 136 in the back of your Psalter.
Form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son Jesus Christ with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that every one examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that every one examine his own conscience, whether he proposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will surely receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who can find in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of His Word and of the Holy Sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, all those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, users, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sin, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted this supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of Him. Now after this manner are we to remember Him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that He assumed our flesh and blood, that He bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of His incarnation to the end of His life upon earth, and that He hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of Him the bloody sweat in the garden, where He was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that He afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that He was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that He suffered His blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that He might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon Himself the curse due to us, that He might fill us with His blessings, and hath humbled Himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when He cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of Him, and finally confirmed with His death and shedding of His blood, the New and Eternal Testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation when he said, "It is finished." Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In like manner, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this, my hearty love and faithfulness toward you, that, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and has certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we, by the same, who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love. As the Holy Apostle saith, "For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only showed this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen."
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through thy Holy Spirit, and that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost, with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 92, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Be thou my helper in the strife. O Lord, my strong defender be, thy mighty shield protect my life, thy spear confront the enemy. And what follows in 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 92. beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ, He has instituted the Holy Supper of the Lord. And that was not because it was a necessary thing for the sake of His church. It was an addition. It was something that was given to them over and above all the blessings that the Lord would give unto His people. The Lord's Supper, that is an institution for the sake of the infirmities that are living in the heart of His people here while they are still below. Who are those whom the Lord invites to that supper? We read that the Lord, He has appeared unto Jacob. He has revealed Himself unto Jacob. He has shown Himself. And then afterwards, we read that He spake unto him. Thus, this revelation of the Lord to His people, that is not taking place in a vacuum. No, that is taking place under certain circumstances in the life of His people. And thus, it was for Jacob and that he was lying in his guilt. Is there now a people that are not strangers of what the Lord has done unto your soul? When you also were lying in your own guilt, when all the desires of your heart that the Lord Himself had placed in your heart, with the love of Him in your heart, that you may gain the blessing, and when all those labors, they have come unto an end. When you have found out by experience in your life the impossibility that those blessings would be received by efforts on your own side, so that everything that had to be turned upside down, and in your destitution and in your impossibility, the Lord has revealed Himself unto your soul. And then that table of the Lord, that is now open unto you. And because He says unto His church, do this in remembrance of me. And then for some, then it is not so very, very clear. And then they have to say, did I really see Him? Did He really reveal Himself to my soul? But then we have to ask you this question. Did you ever see something of what grace is? Free and sovereign grace over and against all the labors that you would have to perform from your own side, or when you have seen the smallest part, then your heart has rejoiced in it. Then you have seen light that you have never seen before in the darkness. And your heart that has begun to go out after the blessed mediator, the Son of God. And now it is for this people that it is possible, that it has become possible to do this in remembrance of Him. Come then, for all things are now ready. congregation, are there yet any more? We have heard from the forum that we do not come to this supper in order to testify that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. That is not the reason. And that these persons here, they have come to this table to say that they are perfect, to say that they are righteous. On the contrary, seeing we have heard that we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ, and then we confess that we lie in the midst of death. Are there any more that would like to confess here before the congregation and before the eye of the Lord, to confess that you lie in the midst of death, but that you seek your life outside of yourself in Jesus Christ, and there is still room? If there are no more, then we will close the supper. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Remember and believe that the blood of Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete remission of all our sin. the Lord's Supper that was instituted as a seal, that was instituted as a confirmation, that was instituted in anticipation, that was not something that was requested by the disciples, but it was something that the Lord Jesus has done himself on his own account, because he has foreseen, and as the divine person, then he has known exactly what was living in the heart of his disciples, and he also knew the tribulation that would be coming, as he has known the tribulation that would be coming in the life of Jacob, the trials and the afflictions which he would have to endure in his life. And then the Lord, he has in his wisdom foreseen it all, and he has known it all, and he has known the infirmities that also would be living in the heart of Jacob in that time, and he knows the infirmities that are lying in the heart of his church. What did Abraham say when the Lord came to him? And the Lord said to him that thy wife Sarah, she shall also bear thee a son. And we read that he fell upon his face and he laughed. What do we read about Zacharias? The Lord came to him and he said, thy wife Elizabeth, she shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. That was too much for Zacharias. That was too much for Abraham. It is the greatness of the blessings that are promised unto that people, that are working that infirmity, that doubt, that unbelief. Is it now possible that such a thing that is reserved by the Lord for me? It is the greatness of the promise that is causing doubts and fears. And we can read something of those promises here. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, he says. And thus the Lord, he promises unto Jacob that he is now going to be the recipient of the blessings that were given and promised unto his fathers. This was now living in the bottom of the heart of Jacob. Or we can find it also in that time already when he has desired that blessing from the hand of his brother. That meant everything to him. And now the Lord comes and he says, Jacob, that is yours. Is that not something that was so high for Jacob that the Lord, he would prevent the objections? And that was so for those disciples also. They had to experience in their life what they were. When the Lord, he said, you shall all flee from me, when I will go forward with my work for you. And what would not come in their life from what they had done, so that the Lord, he comes to them and he says that indeed, that the blessing is for them, the land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Thus, the blessing that is for you. Or if the Lord says this unto us, and then we say the blessing of the land, that holy land, a land of holiness, that life of holiness, that forgiveness of guilt, that deliverance from the pollution of sin, that is all now for you. And what have we to say? Then it seems we are more out of that land than in that land. Then it seems when the Lord gives such a promise, you say that is now the very land, that land of holiness, that I seem to be fleeing. It is now the world that is living more in my heart than that land is. Oh, how many doubts then, and how many fears. But the Lord says, the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it. And in thee, he says, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What does that mean? Oh, Jacob, the Lord says, you will not die. Your enemy wants to slay you, but you are going to live, because all the families, they will be blessed in thee. O Christ, he must come forth from your loins. And so the Lord says unto his people, that sin that shall not have dominion over you, despite all your fears, that one day that sin is going to overcome, and that you are going to fall, and you are going indeed to fall away. And then the Lord says, no. He says, sin shall not have dominion over you. And he says that his own dear son, oh, then he gives these elements. He gives these elements, the broken bread and this poured out wine, to make a confirmation of that and to say it is not possible. Oh, do you see now what has become of my dear son? That broken body. Do you see what sin has done in his life? And when even unto death he has poured it out. Oh, then it is not possible that sin would overcome you unto death. No, you shall not die, but you shall live, and you shall declare the praises of the Lord. And behold, I am with thee. That is speaking about a union. The Lord says, I with thee. I in my Father, and he in me, and I in you. Oh, what was that now for Jacob, when he had to go into those places where he would feel so alone? But the Lord says, you are not alone, but I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. The faithfulness of the Lord, that he says that those to whom he has now revealed himself, a way of free and sovereign grace, they are now a people whom that he has not revealed himself unto the world, but that is a people whom he has chosen as his own, and he will keep them, and they may fall, but they will never fall away from me, because I will bring thee again into this land. Thus the end that will be right. The end that will be right, no matter what is coming against you. What came against Jacob when he was under the hand of his father-in-law, that was so very, very discouraging. But how, what an encouragement that the Lord has given unto him before that he got there, and for what reason? That he may depend upon him, that he may hear that promise, and that he may have that promise confirmed in his life. For he says, I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee of. Oh, he is a God that says it, and he is a God that does it. He is not like unto us. But I will finish perfectly what I for thee have undertaken. Oh, that we may be given by the Lord to use that fountain of free and sovereign grace to wash therein daily, continually, to the comfort of our hearts, for which this institution that has been instituted by him. Let us now sing from Psalter 202, the first stanza, after which the communicants may return to their seats. 202, stanza 1, in doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand, and thou carest for me. Stanza 1 of Psalter 202. beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thy infinite mercy, given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal. And that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. And thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us sing in closing Psalter 243, stanzas 1, 6, 9, and 15. In vision to his saints God spake, from out the people one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save, ordained, exalted, strong to save. 1, 6, 9, and 15 of Psalter 243.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.